So, the story of Jonah. So much singing, I think it's good to try and wet my throat a bit. As many of you would know that Pastor Jolie and team are in Canada. We sent, I think was it back in around the beginning of this month, was it the first week of this month, somewhere there. We have a team that left this place, that left this fellowship, and went to Canada to do ministry there with the help of our conducts in Canada. And as you've heard from Meredith this morning, that it's a blessed time for them. And I believe that it's a blessed time for us too. There is a great feeling that happens when people from us, people we know, when they go on a mission in obedience to what God is saying or speaking in their hearts, when we obey and we take steps to have God have his way through us. Now, my name is Joseph. Mutamba is my last name, and while Pastor Jolie is in Canada with Tim, I'm one of the people that will be helping with sharing the word of God. And today we're looking at the book of Jonah. Would you like to go to the right? Stay there. Now, I've prepared a number of slides, and I want to invite all of you to do this together, because this is for all of us to walk through this book of Jonah and with attentive ears to hear and see what God is speaking to us through the book of Jonah. Salvation comes from the Lord. That's what Jonah said when he was in the belly of the big fish. Next slide. Let's connect with heaven. Just want to draw all of us into a moment of prayer before we journey through the book of Jonah. Father, we just want to say thank you once again that you are here with us today. Your word is always good. But we want to pray that you may open our inner eyes, our ears. You may open our hearts, the depth of us, to hear and see indeed what you are doing, what you want to say, what you want to speak to us today through the book of Jonah. We pray that you come alive for us today in a special way, that we may not only hear with our ears, but hear with our inner ears, with our hearts, and be transformed indeed, as it has been prayed before, that we may draw closer to you. That we may have more intimate fellowship with you, Lord God. Amen. All right, the next slide, please. Now, these are some of the things I would like us to walk through the book of Jonah together. By the way, I didn't do those images. I borrowed them from www.freebibleimages.org. They are free. They can be used for things like this. I thought it might help to just sort of visualize some things as we navigate the story of Jonah together. So we will be going through the historical context to try and put this in its historical context to see what kind of times was Jonah living in. And then we'll do a bit of a book synopsis. Now, that word synopsis is just a big word for saying summary, an outline. So we'll do that together. And then we'll look into what do we see about God in the book of Jonah. We will then go into a little bit of who Jonah was. And then we'll go into reflections. And then we'll close in prayer. Are we ready for the journey? Yes. Lovely. Now, if you want to ask questions, feel free. You can say, stop. What does that mean? I mean, we are in this together. So I want you to feel free. If you want to ask questions, let's do. Not that I'm able to answer all questions. If I don't know, I just say I don't know. But we can work this out together. Next. So here is the historical context. I just put here a few highlights. On the right there, you can see the map of ancient Near East. The Near East is what is now called the Middle East. So that's what the Middle East looked like around the time of Jonah. You can see there the various places. I think some of them you can identify. Jerusalem is through. Jerusalem hasn't changed, you know. And you go to the Mediterranean Sea, it hasn't changed. It's still the Mediterranean Sea. So that kind of gives you a little bit of a picture of what was the geography where Jonah had to do those things. And you can see there are Syria there. Persia, Assyria, I think that there will be other maps that will actually help us to track the journeys that Jonah first tried to do, and God stopped him, and then he had to go in the direction that God had sent him. So the book was written between that period there. Around that time, King Uzziah was reigning in Judah. Israel, basically the kingdom had been split into two by this time, the northern kingdom Israel and the southern kingdom Judah. So there was the king Uzziah was reigning between that period there, that's before Christ, and King Jeroboam II was reigning over Israel between that period there before Christ. And this is important to know, that the Assyrians were known to be brutal and oppressive. This is very important to sort of just keep that let that hang in your minds, because it gives you the context in which Jonah was supposed to deliver the message that God had given him. The Assyrians had a brutal and oppressive reputation. They were long-standing enemies of Israel, and now this also is very important because you do get. Some people are beginning to think that, oh, well, wait a moment, big fish, somebody getting in the big fish, and then the big fish vomits somebody. Hey, wait, it's way too much to sort of take it seriously. Some may begin to think that, well, that's fictional, you know, it's just something conjured up, something that has been imagined, you know, for the sake of, you know, people do try to sort of come out with those kind of excuses, but this is crucial, that the historical nature of the great fish account and the repentance of Nineveh in the book of Jonah, they are confirmed by none other than Jesus. For me, if Jesus says, if he confirms it, that seals it. No matter what scientists or whoever they are out there in the world might want to try and give it a different way, that's just rubbish for me. When Christ says it happened, for me, it happened. Now, I would like us to go to Matthew 12:30-41, just to read for ourselves, to refresh our minds, what Christ said about this book of Jonah, about Jonah going into spending some time in the belly of a fish, and eventually taking the message to Nineveh, and with the Ninevites repenting. I want us to go through that text, that quotation from uh, from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's found in Matthew chapter, bear with me, chapter 12, verses 38 to 41. What does it say? It says, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law say to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, now he is Jesus. He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Now listen carefully. "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man," Jesus, "will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." He is linking his coming up death with what happened to Jonah. And that's how strong it is. That's the reality of things here. That's how it cannot be questioned. Because he's linking it with his dying and resurrection. So basically what that means is if Jonah didn't go into the belly of a fish, then Christ didn't die and rise. That's how strong it is. That's how God seals, how he confirms that this thing happened. As for the repentance of the Ninevites, Christ goes on to say, "The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here." That is the signature of God over this account. So we know that the Jonah story wasn't conjured up. It's not fictional. It happened. But God puts his stamp of approval on it. It happened. I think so much for the historical context. We can move on to the next slide. Now, we will now do a bit of outline, a bit of just sort of walk through the book to see what's going on here. Again, on the right-hand side, you can see some sort of map. And this time around, some of the places, they now have modern names. You can see France there, Spain, Italy. Just to help you, so you can see what route Jonah was trying to take when he was. Now, they are not quite sure whether that is the place where Joshua, that's why there's a question mark there. But they have not found any other place that they could say what was Tarshish. So they think that is the place where Jonah was trying to run to. But he was meant to go to Assyria there, as you can see there, the mission, the Dodecahedron going to the mission there. That end there is just representing Nineveh, which was the capital city of Assyria. So God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian empire. Instead, Jonah boarded a ship headed for Tarshish, the opposite direction of Nineveh. Soon, a raging storm causes the crew to catch thoughts to determine that Jonah is the problem. And at his request, Jonah is thrown overboard. And later, he finds himself in the belly of a big fish. It doesn't really matter what's the name of the fish. The point is there was a big fish swallowed Jonah whole. Jonah prays to God, and after 3 days and three nights, the fish vomits him on the dry land. Jonah then makes the 500-mile trip to Nineveh and witnesses a great revival. But Jonah was not happy about the salvation of Nineveh. I think that's sad. God then uses another set of miracles. Leafy plant, worm, scorching easterly wind, preach Jonah about God's compassionate heart toward people and animals. So that's in a nutshell the book of Jonah. Now, we'll now go deeper into, if you can go to the next slide. Now, Jonah is the, say, if this was a film, it would be starring who? Who would be starring? Jonah. Oh, come on. Don't be like you don't go for films. You don't go for films? You do, don't you? Starring who?
Jonah.
Yeah. But of course, Jonah is not alone. There is another one there. Who else is there? God is there. Right. Good. I think we're beginning to get into it, right? I want us to be into this together. Now, when we look, I mean, I have done back and forth, Jonah, even during my holidays, Jonah. So I've been going through this book over and over and over and over. So then thoughts begin to come to me about God. Just going through the book of Jonah, thoughts begin to sort of come to me. And these are some of the thoughts that I thought, well, let me share with my friends. The thoughts about Jonah that came to me as I was sort of going through this book and trying to see, trying to study it, you know. So these are some of the thoughts. There could be more, but I thought I could share with you these thoughts about God. Now, I think the beginning of the book says, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Now, so I say, well, what does he say? He says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because his wickedness has come out before me. So I say, God initiates the salvation process. He comes to seek the lost. And then you go on through the book, you find that God has no pleasure in the sinner dying in their sins. He has no pleasure in sinners dying in their sins. He gives us opportunities to repent and reconcile with him. God's thoughts and ways are far above mankind's. And God is able to use any of his creation to help us come to know him better. God reveals himself in many ways and consistently. Every revelation about God is always consistent with the previous revelations. That's God. And then I also noticed that no one can run away from God. Everything is bare before him. Then I also saw that God is supreme. Even those that may be pursuing other so-called gods, they will eventually bow down to the supreme God Almighty. Remember when Loretta was reading that they tried to, what did they do? They said, call to your God, maybe we can find help. And then they went down to Jonah and said, hey, you are sleeping, wake up, call upon your God, maybe he can save us. But eventually, when they saw what happened, when Jonah was thrown overboard, when he became calm, they realized who is God indeed. They had been calling upon their God and nothing was changing. But when they threw Jonah overboard, they realized that this is God above all. And if you say that the last reading, what you said, they began to make vows and sacrifice, they began to worship vessels. So even today, there are many people who are worshiping other so-called gods, but they will eventually bow down to the supreme God of Almighty. No individual, no nation has an exclusive claim on God. God is sovereign. Now, what does that mean? I mean, there is no individual that can say, God is only for me. There is no nation that can say, God is only for us. Unfortunately, some nations or some individuals have fallen into that trap, thinking that they have exclusive claim to God so that others can have no access to them. And God has from time to time been reminding them and teaching them that he is bigger than that. He is not restrained. No individual, no nation has an exclusive. If that was the case, then Nineveh would not have been saved, because Jonah would have said, God, don't save me. Because that is what Jonah wanted. But God is above that. No nation has an exclusive claim on God. God has the final word. When everything is said and done, God gives the final word. Next slide. So that's about God. Let's look at Jonah. Now, Jonah is the chief character. He's starting here. And his ministry was between that time before Christ. Now, again, Jonah is from Galilee, town of Gath Hepher, about 3 miles northeast of Nazareth. Now, we got the specifics here. We got the a fictional story would not have this much to do. We got the specifics here. And so this goes on to demonstrate that Jonah is not a fictional character. He's a historical character. He existed, and he did what he did. You could check with the 2 Kings 14:25, and you'll find Jonah in ancient there. Now, Jonah had somebody living around the same time as him, and that was Amos. Now, we do see that Jonah was greatly influenced by the world. That means the politics, the religion, and the economics of his day. To the extent that he could not embrace the compassionate nature of God toward people he perceived as his nation's enemies. That is how far Jonah was blinded by his own perceptions, by the world politics of the time. We did notice that the Assyrians were known to be brutal and so there was the politics was God is for us, but not for those bad guys. They're too bad. God can't be loving them. So that influenced Jonah's way of looking at life. So that's Jonah. Next. Now let's do a bit of reflecting here. We do see that there are divergent perspectives. We as people, we see one way, and of course, Jonah is representing us. Jonah is representing the human race. And then God is seeing things differently here. So we are seeing divergent perspectives, man versus God. God invites us to work with him, but he wants us to help bring others to repentance. We see that when he invited Jonah to go to Nineveh. God invites us to commune with him, sharing the joy of the salvation of others. But we, by giving in to self-gratification and the influence of the world, we tend to lose true north. We lose our bearing. And we choose or we follow everything else except God. But we also see that God is tenacious, patient, and meticulous in his work to bring us back to himself. That we see in the book of Jonah, the way he worked with Jonah. Next. Now, Jonah needed, when there's so much going on, the politics and the economics are jumping up and down, don't we need a break? I've just come back from holiday, and I said that was good. I could take a breath, be away from home, relax, rest. Very good. So I think that Jonah needed some kind of retreat. Let's see what happened here. We'll get to that. Now, I've got a quotation from Carr. And she said, what we have come to understand is that God needs to do some things in us in order to do things through us. I'm going to repeat that. What we have come to understand is that God needs to do some things in us in order to do things through us. Because we are full of ourselves, full of a lot of the filth from the world, we have lost our orientation. And so God needs to do some work in us, to wake us up, so that we can be aligned to work with him. Now, like Jonah, we are at risk of self-centeredness, destructive patriotism. Well, there is a healthy sense of patriotism. But there's also a very unhealthy form of patriotism. This nation knows that. There was such an event, I think, five years ago. That was disruptive. Other nations have seen that too. there is an unhealthy form of patriotism. And while Jonah was being patriotic about his nation Israel, but he needed to keep it healthy and to embrace. Our patriotism should not rule out what God is trying to do. We need to give place for God. So like Jonah, we are at risk of self-centeredness, destructive patriotism, dogmatism. Why are you angry? Yeah, I'm angry, I'll give you death. Jonah says, do you have a right to be angry? God asks. Yeah, I'm right. He actually said that. He was dogmatic. That's Jonah. So like Jonah, we are at risk of dogmatism and the misleading influence of the world around us. Just like Jonah. So we need to be aware of that. Now, why throw Jonah into the deep, into the open? Why? Now, here comes the much-needed retreat thing we're talking about here. For Jonah, the deep and the fish's belly were places of helplessness. So God does he's doing things in Jonah because he couldn't use Jonah the way he was. So he had to do something in Jonah so that he could use him. So what does he do? He said, okay, I'll take you to a retreat where we will be one-on-one. Where we'll be away from the politics, away from the, you know. So for Jonah, the deep, which is the sea, and the fish's belly were in places of helplessness. When you are thrown into the sea, well, a place away from dependence on his strength, a place of vulnerability, a place where the politics of the day vanished, a place he could honestly cry to God for help. Inside the belly of the fish, Jonah could not rely on the media of his day. He couldn't rely on CNN or BBC. Well, there must have been some forms of media around that time, whether it was by mouth or by somebody sending, being sent by the king. There was some sort of media. There's always been media. He couldn't rely on that. He had only one audience left, and that was God. So now let's talk, Jonah. So God gave him that retreat so he could be sober. From the belly of the fish, Jonah was able to speak soberly, seeing things from God's perspective, not from the perspective of the pollution of the world he had left. And listen to what he says. He's in the belly of the fish now. He says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. He's beginning to speak sense now. Now, an idol is anything or anybody that would come between you and God. Nineveh hastily deserted from their idols and turned their devotion to God, at least for a while. Now, we also notice that when you are in a place of vulnerability, a place of weakness, things happen because that place, God can work through you. And so he says, as he said to Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, what kind of weakness are we talking about? I mean, it's not any kind of weakness. We're talking about the sort of humble condition that prepares you to receive from God. That's the weakness we're talking about here. Okay, let's see how we're doing on time. Ooh, we have overrun. In that case, can you just we're just about to close now. I know it's warm and you know we might be yawning now. I have the privilege of taking water, and I don't think you have that now. So let's round up and finish this thing. Let's do a bit of a heart search here. What could our idols be? What is coming between us and God today? Now, you see, things that can come between us and God, they are not necessarily bad on their own. I want to repeat this. Things that can come between us and God, they are not necessarily bad. Of course, there are some things that are really ugly, and they're obviously ugly, but there are some things that come between us and God that on their own, they're not bad. But it's just that if we begin to worship them, if we begin to give the attention our attention to them, the attention that would be due God, then they become idols. So we just need to be aware that it's not necessarily the things that are obviously bad, obviously ugly, but it's also the things that, you know, how we use our time, how we spend our time, you know. We just need to just check what is taking my attention away from God here. Where are we going?
Do we know? God's heart is reaching out to us today. He says, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. And many people as well. Should I not be concerned about that? That means God is concerned about us here in Stavanger. He is. Now, this city had more than 120,000 people, right? So Stavanger, Sula, Stanesh, I think it's about 250,000. Thereabouts. So you could stay. Where is Nineveh? There you could stick in Stavanger, Stanesh. You could stick in yourself there. It simply just says, God is saying, I love you, I'm concerned. Next. Okay. That's it. Let's close. Now, those who cling to worthless idols, they lose the grace that could be theirs. The Ninevites chose well. They left their worthless idols and they chose to repent. They chose to make peace with God. They chose to go the way of God. And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. That's our God. Let's just spend a few moments of just reflecting before we close in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you so much for who you are. That you are tenacious. That you are patient. That you are meticulous in your ways, in your work, to bring us to you. Even when we are lost in many ways, you do what you do to draw us back. And I want to pray that some of these thoughts we have shared today, that you may make them alive in our hearts, in our spirits. That you may empower us to be transformed by the message you are speaking to us through the book of Jonah. I know you are faithful. And you will lead us to your holy mountain, to your very self, because such is you, such is your love, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not height, not death, not even life itself, not even demons, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I pray that you draw our hearts, our souls, our spirits, to know you the way you want us to know you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We will move on straight to, let's see here, what do we have here? We got the affirmation of faith.